Good morning. Today is Friday, November the 25th. Are you out shopping? Hopefully not just sitting at home shopping. Joining us this morning is Eric Riggs, who is in charge of the Natural Resources and Sciences Departments at Humboldt. Didn't have to check off too bad. Oh, are you ready for our why do we say that, sir?
Absolutely.
All right. It hadn't been used. It's not a shot at either of us, but we both qualify.
Okay.
Why do we say let one's hair down?
Yeah, for you and I, that is an increasingly inaccurate description.
Yeah.
I always interpreted that to be, putting your hair up, especially if we were, if we were women with longer hair, we'd put it up, tie it up, and then take it down to relax. But I don't know. At this point, I let my hair down all the time.
Yeah.
It's easier that way.
It doesn't really matter.
Just get my hair mowed every now and again. It's all good.
Yeah. For decades, Paris has been the fashion center of the Western world. Customs and sayings that originate there often become more firmly rooted in England and in America than in their native soil. Noted entertainers and wives of wealthy noblemen have long vied with one another in creating new and elaborate hairstyles. It was once considered a serious breach of etiquette to appear in public without a coiffure. That required hours of work. Only in the intimacy of private quarters did beauties of the Napoleonic era relax by letting their hair down. Moves towards pulling out pins and unbinding tresses became associated with relaxation. So any time inhibitions are discarded, we still say that male or females have let their hair down.
Very nice.
Another
a little bit like loosening the tie. Another thing that is almost irrelevant is ties disappearing.
Yeah, that hacks me off still. I got like five racks of ties. I love ties, but it's like, okay.
Well, so when I got to Humboldt, I realized I was in a reasonably low tie environment.
Really?
And
shock and awe on that one.
Right. And, the president's profile picture on the university has no tie. I figured, okay, this is a place, I can work with this. Until we had moved here and we had our first fall commencement. And I thought, oh, great, no ties. Sweet. I show up early, fortunately, and people got ties on. I was like, oh, dang. So immediately I hustled home. I had to guess which of the multitude of unpacked moving boxes had the ties in it. Managed to get lucky, found one, slapped it on, made it back, saved my own bacon. But yeah.
Windsor?
It's just the standard overhand.
Okay. You don't do the clip-ons.
No, God, no.
No.
Got to keep it real.
We are kindred speakers. Oh, geez. What is the biggest misnomer about the natural resources departments now versus pick a time in the past?
That's good. Well, and our college has an interesting mix, right? So it has departments that think of themselves as being really focused on natural resources. Fisheries, forestry, tend to be identified with extractive industries or industries that were perceived as being less sustainable, potentially. I'm a geologist, so I come by this also honestly, right?
Okay.
if you contrast that with, say, physics, right, also in the college, wouldn't consider itself to be a natural resources department or field, even though you could have nuclear power considered, mined from uranium,
right? Yeah.
You could argue, or solar power, right? Is that a natural resource? Yeah. But
by my definition, a lot of times I'm out there on the island all by myself when it comes to things like that. So,
Fair enough. So I think some of the big misnomers and actually the challenges and interesting part is to look at the interconnections of what we might consider pure sciences with applied sciences, with resource sciences, where you also mix in economics and social factors and all the rest. And
you've been spending a lot of time on campus, haven't you?
I have been spending time on campuses for the last couple of decades.
It's wearing through.
Oh,
by the way, the 30-second warning.
Okay.
The flying duck.
Nice.
And most of our people are aware of it. It's on the website and stuff. So this is the fabled duck.
So where are we get ready for break?
We are there now. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Eric Riggs from Cal Poly Humboldt. Eric, you were talking about the different, colleges within the discipline of natural resources. I think for a lot of us, we remember the forestry program. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Lumberjacks.
A little bit of fisheries. Mm-hmm. Okay. The fish ladder. You get to see it if you're going up to see the ball games. Okay. And beyond that, it kind of starts to get a little fuzzy.
Yeah.
You know, it may or may not have been located in the building. It could have been on another building on campus somewhere.
Right.
And I think everybody probably has their preconceived notions with those. The classes that are currently offered, have they changed much, or are they pretty consistent with what you might have found 15 years ago or 20 years ago?
I think they've changed with the students, with how we understand people learn best, and also
the presentation.
That's right. And, you know, science is always a moving target, as is engineering. We're always learning things. So especially in the upper division, the higher level classes,
fun ones.
That's right. If you're into the discipline, right, that's where the rubber's really meeting the road for you. The content there, and obviously graduate courses, is always going to evolve. The content of a 100 level class, you know, it depends on the topic. The examples that you use, the context that you look at it in. I've taught plenty of earth sciences courses at the introductory level, and I always try to update, you know, those courses with relevant examples and modern day things that people.
Well, the tectonic plates have shifted an awful lot since you started teaching.
You know, at least a few millimeters, right? San Andreas is clicking along 45 millimeters a year. Yeah, so times my career, it's moved.
I'm wondering for a lot of the kids that are taking the classes at the entry level. So they don't have the purple passion.
Right.
They're having fun with it. How much fun is it to break down their prejudices and their preconceived notions of what is and show them what really is?
That's my favorite group of students to work with when I was in the classroom actively. Because for many of those students, it's the only science class they're going to take. And they've picked yours. And in my case, as a geologist, they'd say, oh, rocks for jocks, man. That's going to be the easy one.
Whoops.
Try again.
Yeah.
You've got chemistry. You got physics. You got biology. And it is all mixed together and complex. Isn't that fabulous? But the cool thing is to help them find themselves in the material and say, these people are going to be voters. They're going to be citizens. They're going to be homeowners. They're going to be making decisions that have implications that reach into all these sciences. And so if I can make them understand the value of science, help them see how their disciplines, if they're actuaries, if they're going to be doctors, if they're going to be lawyers, English teachers, doesn't matter, to be able to see themselves.
Lawyers?
Even lawyers. It's true. Those are the ones that we really need to make sure have some scientific background.
Yeah. Be sure they like your class.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, I also have worked a lot with sometimes pre-service teachers, especially elementary school teachers. They need to have a passion for science and not be afraid of it when they go into classrooms and work with our kids.
There is a fear, I would think, for a lot of folks. They say that drowning and public speaking are the two big ones. Huh. Yeah, I understand the drowning part.
Yeah, I don't get the public speaking part
either. No, no. But science can be perhaps not fearful, but how about daunting?
Yeah, that's a good word. And I think I would lay that out as having maybe not been taught as well as it could be. You know, here's the facts, memorize them, you get it wrong, slap your hand.
Boom. Questions at the end of the chapter, snooze.
Right, exactly. Long homework assignments. And that just takes all the passion out of it, I think. So showing people that if you're if you're smart enough and you can solve problems well enough to find a parking space on this campus, you can take on a science class. You have all the problems, the prerequisite adult-level problem-solving skills to do
this. Well, not only find it, but get in and be able to open the door safely.
Correct.
I mean, this is a three-level question.
and these are complex cognitive tasks for a computer. Yeah. So, of course, they can handle a science class. And to demystify that, just to say that this is humans, solving problems just like anywhere else, except, you know, what you admit as information is got boundaries on it, in the sense it has to be verifiable. I would collect some facts, hand them to you, and regardless of our attitudes for how we approach the world, we realize, okay, maybe we reach the same conclusion about those things. And so it's a nice constraint. It doesn't always work as cleanly as that, but you hope.
Right, right. Well, I would think, you know, like physics tends to be pretty, this is the conclusion.
Hmm.
Now you get into fishies.
Yeah.
Okay, things can be a little bit different, or I mean, even something as simple as what time of the year did you take your tests and your record keeping?
Oh, yeah.
And what was the weather like? And you got all these variables that are suddenly starting to swirl out there. And if you don't recognize that there are variables, you know, you can defend it to the hilt and it's not going to matter. You're wrong.
Yeah, and I'm going to keep going with that. It also matters who collects the data sometimes and for what purposes, right? And what are they looking for? So once you've got all those things nailed down, hopefully you've got a whole picture. You've got everybody with their hands all over the elephant in the dark room, right? Seeing different parts of it, feeling different parts of it. And once you realize that you're on the same page, that your measurements
and then
actually,
when the trunk goes up, you know,
elephant. Yeah, yeah, we're right. We had it right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or you're on the wrong end of the elephant.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Somebody had to draw that position. Too bad it was you.
Yeah. Don't look up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. It's a fun game helping students get to that place. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I think when you get into, we're going to have to wrap this up, but I think it's one of those, it's a fun thing. It's looking at who and how all these scientific facts are collected and applied. So
I'm going to have fun asking a couple of questions now just for myself. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Eric Riggs from Cal Poly Humboldt. Eric, one of the things I think that a lot of folks that may not have spent a lot of time playing with rocks or throwing rocks, unless you take swings at them, fossils.
Fossils.
You know, we've got fossils around Rio Del all over the place in the bluffs. Okay. And there's even a couple of the reality shows.
There you go.
I think it was a Discovery. One of the fossil hunters.
Mm.
Intrigued the bejeebers out of me. It was cool seeing these guys in Wyoming going out and doing finding and all that. I don't know if it was renewed or not, which is, you know, unfortunate that I don't know. But fossils have this mystique about them. Is that the kind of stuff that will bring students in, lure them into some of the classes as they'll see something and then get all fired up about it and decide to chase?
Yeah, I think fossils are one of those easy entry points because you're looking at something that's recognizably an animal of some kind, usually, or a plant.
And it's safely dead.
And it's safely dead, right, yeah. So for those of us who are maybe
the fish
less,
thing,
you're a little less biologically inclined,
yeah.
Dissecting a fossil is way less traumatic.
Yeah, you don't have the frog thing.
No. But you could see a already conveniently dead frog in a rock in the right kind of material, potentially, if you're lucky enough, that would be great. And Yeah, it opens doors. I think there are a number of sort of the flashier parts of science. Natural disasters are a good one. Stars, planets, on the, you know, physics side, you know, the, like, you know, the Artemis mission going around the moon, pictures from NASA, they have some of the best material, right?
Yeah, I'm still a geek from NASA and the Apollo series.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I got like 20 books. I mean, I just love.
Right.
Well, you know the Neil Armstrong, I'm going to bore everybody. You know the Neil Armstrong story, right? As soon as he was done?
No, I'm out of here.
No. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I'm going to go back to teaching astrophysics and Louisville, University of Louisville. Never would brag.
Yeah.
Students would have to ask, Professor Armstrong, are you the Neil Armstrong? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Moving on.
Carry on. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine that. Yeah, having experienced all that, and what a resource, what an opportunity to take a class from somebody who went and did and was and is now just trying to be a regular guy.
Yeah, well, and at the end of the day, it's not about him. It's not about aggrandizing him. It's about the material, right?
Yeah, too bad Buzz didn't figure that one out.
Yeah.
Is there, with the physics classes that are there, and obviously astrophysics is part of that, is there any place to learn about that, or is that more now relegated into history rather than physics?
So you mean the history of?
The history of and the exploration of.
Oh, well, it's not over. It's not done.
Yeah.
I mean, we just had the Webb Space Telescope go up, and I mean, we're collecting.
Mars?
Mars is coming.
Yeah.
Right?
That stuff is just so cool.
Even the moon is not boring anymore, right? I mean, it never was, right? We just haven't been there for 50 years, etc.
Yeah, funding issue out of the feds and others.
That's a whole set.
My editorial, another screw up that they made. Okay, I'm back.
There you go. Yeah, we have an amazing habit of defunding really amazing stuff kind of in the midst of, it's like, really?
Well, that was one thing that Armstrong had said. He knew that we were going to be on Mars with a colony by 1990 if we continued doing the same. And
we didn't.
It all became boring. I can't imagine not televising some of the Apollo, the Saturns going up.
Right.
But the last three or four didn't.
Yeah.
I was like, been there.
Another enormous, wildly complex machine just worked.
Yeah, no big deal.
I think
that's got to be disheartening.
It is. I think the Mars rover program and all of their iterations have done an amazing job of recapturing some of that magic and getting folks inspired into engineering, into science.
Are you seeing more kids enrolling in? I guess it's called the STEM sciences.
Yeah.
Or the STEM classes.
STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, mathematics.
Yeah. Are you seeing that wave starting to happen? We would love to be
creating that wave. I think we're going to see that wave locally because of the Cal Poly designation, the expansion of programs in engineering and the rest. But nationally, I don't think so. I mean, they're excellent jobs, very rewarding career paths for folks. Can make a real difference working with communities, solving real problems. But, you know, other disciplines just are
sexier.
Sexier, yeah. Let's go there, right? I mean,
how can it be more sexy than putting somebody on Mars?
Right.
I mean, that is just so. Even if you're one of 10,000 people helping make it happen, you're helping put somebody on Mars.
Well, I think.
Wow.
I agree. And I think the STEM fields also have some work to do to make the disciplines a better place for all the folks in the United States, all the folks in the world, right? I mean, making sure that you're meeting people where they are, honoring students' lived experience. And so making sure that your curricula do a good job of inviting everyone to the table.
That's probably the toughest thing I would think from a department head's perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, you can't really bust people's chops too much, but if nobody's signing up for your class, buddy, figure this thing out. I mean, this is as free market as gets in education, and they're telling you you're boring.
Yeah,
if there's nothing there for them, do something different.
Yeah, students vote with their feet.
Yeah,
and they'll talk about it online.
Yeah, I just interesting. So, what is the most popular class now in your colleges? What is the one that people line up for?
Well, let's see. There's some big ones in biology.
Frog cutting 101?
I'm thinking even botany. You know, intro botany is really fascinating for a lot of students. They love it.
Hydroponics or marijuana driving it?
I think it's a whole lot of disciplines. It's just also seen, especially in our area, there is just so much amazing diversity of plants to deal with here, both coastal and forest.
Ferns and redwood trees. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Ferns, redwoods, ferns, redwoods for me. Yeah.
Rhodey, ferns.
Yeah, so any of those classes that I think have a broad appeal across a lot of disciplines or really capture people's, you know, the fossil factor again, right?
Sure. Yeah, what's wildly sexy? Not wild and sexy. Wildly sexy. K-I-N-S can keep you in line, L.A. It's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Eric Riggs from Cal Poly Humboldt. Eric, as you look at the future, you know, funding obviously is going to be a bit of a challenge. It always is. It doesn't matter how much there is. It's always needing to be more. Okay, fine. What areas would you like to get into with classes that are would be offered that aren't there right now?
I think we have some opportunities to look at the intersections that matter, again, to this region, to all of the folks in the in our program. So let me back up a bit. I mean, we have an injection of new funding from the whole Cal Poly movement, right? There are a lot of popular courses there anyway, but with that came along the ability to build out a lot of new engineering programs. I'm excited to see where those can go, because it's really meant to be mechanical and energy systems engineering in addition to our whole environmental resources engineering program.
Yeah, the mechanical engineering is something that has been
huge.
Overlooked for so long. And it's really kind of like bread and butter, isn't it, for
Cal
Poly?
It is. And it's deeply, you know, it's deeply oversubscribed across the rest of the state. And so we need capacity to teach in that area. What I'm looking forward to seeing is all of the innovation that's going to happen in there in terms of doing it a bit differently, doing it with the Humboldt style, with the focus on integrated sciences, with the focus on integration of human needs and human systems, with an eye to sustainability. How do we do this and be able to keep doing it without, you know, burning ourselves out, blowing stuff up?
Not those form blocks that they are using now as fill-in roads.
Yeah.
I still don't understand how that stuff works. It's got to be just inertia at work.
Yeah, well, so I think there's some cool innovations I'm looking forward to there, but that's not really the question you asked. I mean, you said, what else do we want to see?
What would you like to add?
Yeah, I think we have some opportunities to discover something of the gold under our feet in this region with sustainable and regenerative agriculture. It'd be a place where...
English on this one?
English, sorry. So a lot of agriculture, you have to put inputs into the environment to make things grow properly, right? Fertilizers, all the rest.
Water,
sure. Water we have here, making this a very unusual part of California, right?
Right.
You also worry about, are the things that we are extracting from the landscape actually then not being recycled back into the soil? So how do you maintain, if anything, improve soil health while, there it is. Nice. The fossil just walked into the room, folks. Here it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I was here already.
Nah. Ba-dum-bums.
Yeah, well,
thanks,
okay.
Folks. He's here every week.
So. It's not that it's good humor. It's just an attempt.
Yeah. This is a talk show, not a humor show.
Yeah. Proven every day.
So I think some opportunity to grow in that direction, and I know folks have been eager to see us doing that. This community is already, in some ways, ahead of the university in terms of the kinds of things that are going on around here.
Yeah, a lot of interest and a lot of desire for stuff. Yep. How different are the different? Okay, we got three polys, right?
Yeah.
You say mechanical engineering.
Right.
Okay. Well, mechanical engineering is some mechanical engineering. So is SLO different than Pomona, different than Humboldt in teaching that class? Or is it maybe the application in the neighborhood of the lessons that are learned when they go out either for lab or something like that?
I think it's probably mostly the latter. The lessons learned in terms of also the context and the whole collection. SLO is, you know, really is the original Cal Poly, and they remind us of that from time to time. But in general,
well, good to know that there is pecking order and that every once in a while, heritage and history do count for something.
They do. And to their credit, all of our colleagues at SLO and all the areas that impact our college have been amazingly collaborative and very eager.
Cool.
Very happy to see us come along. And they've
until you kick their butt, and then they don't like you anymore.
True that, but that. Yeah. They're far enough away.
Yeah,
to,
yeah,
whatever. And so I think, you know, the students that are picking SLO and the students that we hope will pick Humboldt and that go to Pomona really have different needs, different desires, different program strengths. And so that's part of the desire, I think, with the CSU system also is to have the schools complement one another. And so the university just as an entity, total entity, is stronger.
What's really cool is, for me at least, you know, growing up three blocks from here, is that we're no longer out in the boonies all by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the system. I mean, I'm sure you heard the rumors, too, that you know they were going to close Humboldt because it's too far away from anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, now all of a sudden, not only are we not being closed, we're kind of in the spotlight a little bit. And
right.
This is more of a laboratory setting
yeah.
rather than something that's so far away we can't get the supply trucks there.
Yeah, well, and it's turning that disadvantage into an advantage. You mentioned the laboratory setting. I mean, a laboratory needs to have whatever you're going to be changing or altering, exploring in that space needs to be of a scale where you could actually expect to see changes over a period of time. And I think that's what we've got here in terms of the right size communities, the right size university, the right size problems. I think we can actually make some big differences here.
Well, I think the cool thing also is with the current approach, there's an embracing of the community instead of a arm's length, stay away from me
absolutely.
Attitude. And that's so refreshing and so different that it bodes well. Well, hopefully you can make sure that Jen is busy a couple more times during the year and we can have some more fun.
That would be great. I'd love to join you again.
Appreciate you coming by.
You bet.
See everybody. Hey, happy weekends, all that kind of stuff. See you on Monday.